where he was and that he was dead, that there would have been no way of surviving an explosion that bad.
So I picked up the baby and I left all the others to comfort each other and pray for our own. There is Timmy 14 and
I don't want my kids to ever go into coal mines. And if I have anything to do with it, they won't go to my coal mines. That's why I'm trying to get them a good education. When it's time to go to college, they will go to college. That coal mines frightens me to death.
I give them good learning, the best could be found. So when they grow up, they'd be checkers and weighers, and not spend their time drilling in the dark.
Well, I just say I hope they have that mind safe, that the same thing won't happen again.
And that does it for this week's From the Vault. For a copy of this program or programs in this series, visit us online at pacificaradioarchives.org or call us toll-free in the archives at 1-800-735-0230. From the Vault is produced by Brian DeShazer and Mark Torres, executive producer Brian DeShazer. We thank our partners, collaborators, and grant funders, the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, the Pop-Up Archive, the Internet Archive, UC Berkeley, and the NHPRC at the National Archives. I'm Brian DeShazer. Thanks for listening and keeping our history alive.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available at our website. The Personnel Committee meets on the second Monday of the month at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases the stories and radio productions from community stations across the country. I'm Coral Bernal from Taos Pueblo with Cultural Energy in Taos, New Mexico.
That was the voice of Taos Pueblo poet Coral Dawn Bernal, introducing a Sprouts interview with John Trudell more than a decade ago. Today, Cultural Energy and KCEI will bring you poetry by the brilliant Coral Dawn Bernal, who we just lost this last summer at age 29. We'll hear from her cousin AJ, remembering Coral, and her teacher Anne McNaughton, co-founder of the Taos Poetry Circus. Now, AJ track with music in memory of Coral by Cody Maribal and PH8.
Hello, listeners. My name is Abram Tracks. I am related to the late Coral Dawn Bernal. I grew up knowing Coral since her and her two younger brothers, CJ and Quantlin, were babies. She was my little sister for real. I'm still not done processing this very unexpected tragic event, as I am sure all of her family members and friends are. Coral was our sister, our niece, our granddaughter, our friend, our inspiration, our motivator, our craftswoman, our poet, and our light. She was the best kind of young woman and a very kind-hearted being. Her demeanor was stellar, although troubled at times. She also walked in a beautiful way, as the Diné people would say. Her wit and compassion were unmeasurable. Her kind voice was able to smooth the roughest edges of life and poured out beautiful and sometimes painful poetry, deeper than the gorgeous gorges of one of her homes, the home of her father, Carpio Bernal, a First Nations village located in Taos, New Mexico. Half of her blood comes from our ancient tribe known as the Red Willow people. Her lineage descends from wise village elders, one of whom was her grandfather, who was instrumental in the return of our tribe's sacred Blue Lake land on December 15, 1970, by President Nixon. She was very proud of her grandfather and how much he loved the land of our ancestors. Her other home was up in British Columbia, Canada, among the Salish people, where her mother Rose hails from. I would often picture her at sea rowing with her Salish tribesmen in the ocean, or eating pink salmon in the sacred longhouses of her ancestors during winter potlatch ceremonies, singing ancient primordial hymns and sharing the stories of creation and the times of old. Coral always made it a point to maintain traditional values taught by our Red Willow people. Coral was also very musical. She always hung out with an all-native hip-hop crew from the Pueblo called Potency. She was on a lot of our early material and was very eager and interested in doing songs with us. And then, when we would take breaks for basketball, she played with us. She was scrappy for being such a delicate-looking young lady. It felt good to have her around. It seemed like she was a healer of some kind, but there was pain hidden beneath. If you met her, you would have known this to be true. It is an honor to have our sister's beautiful words be broadcast to you and yours. It's hard to speak about how our sister left this earth, but she, like so many of our beautiful young indigenous people, succumbed to substance abuse. I myself almost lost my life in the same exact circumstances of alcoholism. Unfortunately, this is a reality for many First Nations families. To have to struggle with depression and generational trauma at such a young age, and then resorting to substance abuse as a coping mechanism, as a means to forget about all the hardships and mental anguish many suffer from. She was struggling to maintain her glow. I wish I could have noticed, but somehow I didn't. And sadly, she was taken from us. And I know we all miss her so much. But with all that being said, I will choose to speak of how she lived rather than to talk about how she died. Our sister wrote for many, many, many reasons, one of which was a cathartic release. This is how our sister Coral processed her own pain sometimes. Here are some of her recordings she has left behind for us to listen to. Words of truth only our sister could see. Words from the heart and soul of a spiritual bard. Insightful words, impactful words, raw words, beautiful words, healing words.
Welcome. My name is Shauna Williams, and I am the production coordinator for the World Poetry Bout Association in Taos, New Mexico. Four Native American women poets gathered on a Friday night. The third poet of the evening, Coral Bernal, is a favorite on the local scene. She is a member of the Taos High School poetry team and an award-winning poet.
The first poem I have is called Unknown Indian. Choke cherry juice dripping from brown-skinned Indian woman. Nameless, she walks on sidewalk as others stare, unaware of experience, unaware of pain as her braids droop below her bruised eyes. Questions repeated in minds while weeping, sleeping, dreaming into a pueblo of lost answers of which heroes are standing tall upon sun-risen mesas. She suddenly bends into reflection of a massacre held sacredly for the sake of innocent fighting, hiding in the trees while battling at buried at wounded knee, hung to where a culture couldn't breathe. Living was existing in a pottery priest crashed among flared eyes of red. Honorably, the reds bled into the Pueblo Revolt of 1680 with flames desire and the damnedest bravery. It scares women and children because their hearts are on fire. Walking past people who are considered truthful liars, all of their history written in eyes, skins, homes, sunset roams of the Cherokee lines upon a trail of tears. In the calendar features, the unknown Indian, standing next to a frontier, whose name is listed and positioned tightly fit, then there's a short biography floating beneath it, but man next to him, flash, flash, flashes image of dark complexion, long black hair, ebony eyes, a warrior disguised in modern day, a warrior placed without a name. Frame claimed by a government, then sent to the Battle of Little Bighorn, where bloody fields reborn are colored souls to mourn for their heroes. Massive graves of blank crosses, zero identities, not even a letter, sign, nothing as in slice of sword or swipe of arrow. Pride scalp the narrow sound of guns and clash of helmets and mohawks. Los Angeles, man begging, needing but refused dignity, life, water, creator, land, forcing the unknown Indian to beg for a glass of water. The unknown faces of my heroes, zero respect, understanding, posing in a picture. The unknown woman with choke cherry juice dripping from her lip. Nameless, unidentified, no name unknown. Reflection staring, roaming, walking into the unknown Indian who's sitting along the roadside, listening to the eagle cry for massive graves holding blank crosses. Spirit evolves into the sanded brave bear, claws and teeth slashing our history, lying upon the mesa eating salmon and berries, sucking away our native honey, all his body needs for satisfaction. Witnessing the action below his feet, Geronimo preparing for battle, Pope Pace shaking his rattle toward the sky just to find Crazy Horse screaming his war cry, Chief Joseph painting body from his forehead to his thigh, behind one another alive. Behind one another alive, sacredly brothers but from different tribes, sacredly brothers but from different tribes. Did their struggle for survival even matter? How come not a single statue of honor for them has been built nationwide? Because in the beginning, all they owned was their pride. You know who they are, right? And all the other Indians, Native Americans, First Nations that fought. At least a flash, a flash, a flash of an image, whether it be in memory or taught or shown. Then why do they still remain unknown?
At the end of the night, the audience was wowed and amazed by the intimacy of the presentation and the power and the craft of the poetry.
I'm Anne MacNaughton, and I am remembering former student Coral Bernal, who was first off, in my memory, an incredibly beautiful woman and poised. I knew her when she was a young teenager as part of the Taos High School poetry team. She had quite a bit of talent. She was not a calm person in that her life was often hard for her. Her response to things in her life took the form often of her being expressed through her poetry. She had quite a nice flow. That's the thing I most remember about her. It was personal. It was rich in imagery. She sparked rebellion because she really was a rebel whenever she felt like she needed to be. But what a sweet, sweet person. And one of the things that I've learned is that it is so often the case that those who die young are the ones who were the most special. So I would say that about her, is that her specialness, her fragility, her shining inner self, her incredible beauty, as well as the fluidity of her language, were all things that made her particularly wonderful in our lives and allow us to have just gentle, blessed memories when we think of her.
I was found on glistening rocks and cracked earth, river drought, crest in between, flesh, tear, red like the Indian, and experimented seams hanging inside the womb, steam dry, no cleanliness for body. And I am then born in cradles of morning dew, dipped in sunlight and dipped in juice of life. I burst from violet skies that can see nor past everlasting mountains and Trojan oceans. Sacrifice my soul while explosions of Iraqi cries are camouflaged in gray clouds. Nature-loving honey shares a bite of her medicine, fulfilling sight and knowledge draped over her eyelids, lashes on her thighs and scars in her mind. She can barely feel her blood run free. She can only make out misery, dishonesty, liberty, maybe just jealousy. She can hardly hear powerful thoughts that are slit every day. She weeps inside, hides her true physical, emotional, raging, non-stoppable aristocracy. She sees muscle strength as her smile, her warm Pendleton blanket on a cold winter night, her tingle down the spine, her inspiration in two worlds that divide, create a jagged line between where she stands and where she doesn't, where she belongs and where she belongs, where she stands and where she stands, where she knows that in her heart she is accepted by Creator Earth. Feather falls upon her words, dusts them with power, reduces her hawk thought of how she might never understand. Elders hold her hands and dance round and round her universe, broken into songs, poems, realizations. Lust floats by her right ear and hate by her left. Love migrates from each rib up her chest, every piece of body melting into spring, blossoming before checkered reminiscences pounding from the back of her brain, then escapes into confused strands and particles, making up human existence. She prays and prays and creates from southern wind and northern energy, a cycle almost like a tragic hero that is bent in peace rallies, testaments, quotes, and statements right over rule. Yet the people's opinion is crushed by modern world, crushed by war, grenade, drug tests, crumpled like grandmother's chin and forehead, ripped apart like plain land, ugly to one who sees houses wasting water as beautiful. I was found before conquistadors cruised up in court, encouraging wretched dreams, before English settled once and for all to perceive redskins as savages, to continue to let alcohol flow, tricking my brothers and sisters into a genocidal blood-flowing disease that today is not curable. Bottles shadowed in uncle's backyard and cigarettes lit before the sun rises, the white line sniffed on Friday nights, the pills shoved down throats with a shot, while blunts pass from side to side, uncontrollable coughing and gagging from the red soul. The animal, the red soul, is the animal. Native life dressed in Al-Qaeda fright and American lies, blind from the intensity of each attack and each smile. Twin-towered evil squirts from the sun and drips from the crack in Mother Moon. Bleeds from the sky of violet blue and blackish gray, builds in copper clouds the destruction and global warming. She walks along blue baby's breath, red rose petals, gold-tipped roads lead to forever-growing flowers and antlers and wings. Relationship with forest, bare necessity at its best. Love integrates into her hair, reddens her lips to kiss the first ray of life, dawn showing again with her rosy fingers the beauty of world. Yet when rings of politics, construction, regulation circle and swarms of billions civilians cut their hair with a reflection of thirsty hunger, drain from lover compassion and prose, the nature-loving honey and her handsome young buck no longer could be part of such a revolution, kissing the end. So they became a part of Earth. They became the protectors, the guiders, the innocent speakers before desperate hope. And they watched as the next eternity showered blessings and gave taste of her fragrant future from a bird's eye view.
I am from Taos Pueblo on my father's side, and I come from British Columbia, Canada on my mother's side. My motivation basically for writing poetry and for art is to write for my people and for my family, to represent them and encourage youth to write and to express themselves every day.
I just would like to dedicate a poem tonight to a really good friend of mine that I grew up with in high school, and you know, I worked with him. We are really good friends, and he was from here, from Taos, Taosinyo, and the other night he committed suicide, so I want to dedicate this poem to him. Cloak over his soul is an ocean of broken violins, a dark service of jagged ripples, slitting shores, swan wings drenched in black and thick ebony oils, an abyss of question marks of clenched fists and throats, of shadows shaped like animals wrapped around bones, muscle, a quiet and dark side of heaven retracing night, a cavity of captivity in the eyes of blind men. Although his soul fades like bare bodies outside street heat waves, his soul breaks into shelter for those already gone. His soul is a cloak for the bodies that lay onside gritty streets, those cracked out sidewalks of skins hunting spare change. His soul is a cloak of comfort on a craze for the inside of pockets, something like fantasy of no regret where a castle is. His soul is a cloak made from the oil of membranes of fish, blubber of whales soothe his lips, and penguin indigo threads together veins. His soul is a cloak that is sewn from seaweed salty octopus ink, the dissolving warmth of volcanic star ash and quaking sands of white. His soul is a cloak of fate around the gates of hell, dying to get to heaven's luminous clouds, realizing his home is this fiery darkness. Can he forgive a pain to ease hatred, then stand before his mortal enemy? He's become what's not, to forever cease to remember when the night and a loaded revolver of black stole away his laughter. And that is the memory of my friend John Trujillo. I guess I just have one more. It's called Movement. If you are the bird of day, I am the bird's sleek feathers. If you are sunset's fire, I am Mesa's golden edges. If you are a well-crafted dream catcher, I am the silver sinew that binds it. If you are water's ripples, I am a stone beneath them. If you are brown skin and soul, I am pure bone and flesh. If you are rainbow waves, I am black printed fish. If you are a rising sun, I am dawn's first kiss. If you are a still silent air, I am a raging wind. If you are rushing bodies, I am blood of sin. If you are a spider's gray web, I am the place where it lives. If you are a long felt itch, I am the place where it is. If you are shards of pottery, I am the painted mica bits. If you are stacked bricks of earth, I am that structure's shadow. If you are an onyx hole, I am a rattle-shaped end. If you are electrical wiring, I am clouds shooting lightning. If you are cups of light, I am spoonfuls of velocity. If you are the moon signs, I am reflective outlines. If you are fresh cut cedar, I am the dried away smoke. If you are the sweet oak, I am roots of milk. If you are the last sight, I am the first kill. Thank you.
I'm honored to be here, and I am very proud that I have my grandmother sitting right here in front of me and all of my aunties that are here. Beneath the million years of dirt, beauty, light, mountains reflect upon youth and time, long-lasting trees, colors brilliant, shades dull, blinded by broken glass alongside one's window. Flower bloom like child's innocence, then close at night to express adult's ignorance beneath the soil and roots of day, beneath the young woman's silence as she tries to pray for one step closer to the sun and moon. Boom, boom, way oh, high, oh, high. Boom, boom, way oh, high, oh, high. Brown-skinned Indian woman, long black hair, living res life for 40 years, aged, wrinkles, circles under eyes, merged with stress, beating, misbelief, months stacked on counters of dirty dishes, where she stood, clothes all smell like cigarette smoke, as she says, I love you, yet takes another toke, while her daughter listens without a father. Alcoholic probably, but so is the mother. Goes to school each day as hunger freezes mine. Fear causes her to grind teeth in hope of another life. And still, everyone stares. Look at her, so quiet, so weird. Don't they know what she goes through? Don't they know what's beneath? If only they knew. Boom, boom, way, oh, high, oh, high. Teachers try, why? Nothing helps, nothing works. They can teach her to be free, but can they teach her to smile? 'Cause when she smiles, she's free. But she's only the daisy in a garden of roses, the frown in a crowd of laughter, and still she runs after truth. but can never find it. There's this grin that's forced to curve, it's forced to curve beneath the sliver of soul that knows true beauty over dirt, life, learning, and auburn. I, whom is the beholder, although is caged in a body of hatred, silence, and fate. Boom, boom, way, oh, high, oh, high. She sees, boom, boom, way, oh, high, oh, high. She sees, boom, boom, way, oh, high, oh, high. She sees, boom, boom, beneath, oh, high, oh, high, beneath.
In 2007, Coral read a poem at the Lensic in Santa Fe to introduce the reporter Greg Palast.
Victims of Erosion.
I'd like to sing of revolution before our land is too polluted. Sing of revolution before our ways change. Talk of revolution before the water's too toxic. Talk of revolution before the end of our days. Don't say anything, 'cause we got the luck of each other. Peace of quiet lovers, laughter of sisters, respect of brothers. We live to be free, live to be free, live to be free. And not just people of modern society conditioned to be those other than themselves. Say suddenly independence is priority. Yeah, boy, this goes back to the first grade. Repeating Pledge of Allegiance at 8 in the morning, or even twirling underneath chandeliers of red, white, and blue on the 4th of July, celebrating independence. Let us ride the invisible silver stallion who wanted to stay by our side but was left long ago by the lake we remember in our dreams. Even on a reservation, there can be many forms of beauty, like a plain face of brown against a tilted blue sky. Little girl who tries to hit high notes just sings so damn much from the bottom of the lungs, singing songs that represents what it is to live in America. Babe, you tell me what it is to live in North America, USA, 'cause hey, I wanna light our star-spangled banner on fire, see the flames fade into a desert heat, outlining a desire we all have at some point. See, here we have it easy with lands like those of the Enchanted, whereas in other places, oily skins line up alongside gritty streets, wanting, searching, starving to eventually find a stairway to the stars. Tell me how far we need to go before this war turns the sky a hazy purple, a dying red glow, that of the moon. So what of revolution? And what of a desperate attempt to feel freedom while sitting in the Plaza de Santa Fe? What of the way the earth is scarred, the way the river has run dry, us still trying to pry apart our differences? So you can try, baby girl, you can try to sing of revolution. But there are too many innocent civilians at mother's womb and both legs. Don't even want to see it, much less press the buttons just to see how it feels. We, my dears, are victims of erosion. Unfortunately, but enough, we have been already given this land in the beginning. Why destroy what was here before we were? Our land and water, our life's forces and fate's discoveries. So revolution is something you wish for on stars. Evolution is coming, no need to try hard. Don't say anything, 'cause we got the luck of each other. The peace of quiet lovers, laughter of sisters, respect of brothers. We live to be free, 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 live to be free. See the way the trees sway on a cool summer day and tell me that isn't freedom.
Thank you.
This one is dedicated to all of the murdered and missing Indigenous women. It's called Baby Girl. Hey, baby girl. Baby girl. Honey, sweetie, little girl, you are beautiful. You are the twirl, the rising sun, the grace, petals from a rose. And this is how it goes. Your bones are the clouds. Your blood is the ground. I found you with the last leaf from that willow tree. I drank from the moon and walked to the edge of a loom, weaved thoughts and dyed spots where you left only a fingerprint, an imprint, a fragment of who you are. I'm just so happy to be here, and I thank everyone for coming out today. I really appreciate it, and I'm just happy to have my family here, and I appreciate everyone, like I said, again. So, Haishka, siam.
You have been listening to Coral Dawn Bernal of Taos Pueblo, the Red Willow People.
That's it for Sprouts. Edited by Robin Collier. Sprouts is distributed and coordinated by Pacifica Radio Network. If you have a radio production you wish to rebroadcast nationally on Sprouts, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Coral Bernal from Taos Pueblo with Cultural Energy in Taos, New Mexico. To hear other Cultural Energy shows online, visit culturalenergy.org. Thank you for listening and see you next week on Sprouts.
This is KABU Community Radio Portland, Friday morning, December 11th, 2020, and it's 10:30 in the morning time for Film at 11. Hello, this is DK Holm. Today we're going to cover a bunch of new releases.